If you will examine the Maimonides' Sefer HaMitzvah, the count, the system of mitzvahs, Tayag mitzvahs, will come across three mitzvahs which are related to the first night of Pesach. First is Pesach. Of course, nowadays we don't have the Pesach. Then second, Matzah. And the third, Sipur Yetzirah Mitzvah. Moreh is not counted as a separate commandment, a separate precept. Moreh is included in the precept of Pesach. Because Moreh Bezman Hazeh, when there is no Korban Pesach, no Pesach, in Moreh Bezman Hazeh, not mandatory, minateret, minereisen. It's only a rabbinic ordinance from Moreh, which obligates us to eat Moreh. While Matzah and Pesach are two independent mitzvahs. Of course, in the third mitzvah is Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. I don't want to concentrate on other mitzvahs. I'll take up too much time. It's quite complicated. Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. We call it Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. I mean, there could be, we could have used many terms in order to designate, so to say, the recital of the Kolagore on the first night of Pesach. Many terms in Hebrew, there was quite a number, a group of terms which would cover Saber, V'yomar to Levincho, V'gadet to Levincho, V'yimahu Leimer, Amiro, Agoda, Sipur. However, the Rambam, I mean, calls it Lisaper Yetzias Mitzrayim. He used the verb Siper, Saper, Lisaper. If you take the Rambam, interesting is that the book is not called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but called Agore. According to the Rambam, it should have been called Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the term Lisaper was not coined by the Rambam. You find the term, when you come across the term, in the Agor itself, Mitzvah Aleinu Lisaper Vitzias Mitzrayim Kol Eisei Halayla. Mitzvah Mitzrayim, Cholamah Belisaper Vitzias Mitzrayim Arzeh Mishubach. Maisi Berav Lezer Mishua Shoyim Misaprim Vitzias Mitzrayim Kol Eisei Halayla. Is the term not a means, it's an invention by my mind. It's much older than my mind is. But it's strange that the book is not called Sipur Agore. Of course, I mean, it could have been called Sipur or Sefer, basically. It's almost, they derive, both terms derive from Sapir. Yeah. But the book is called Agode, not Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is something else strange. Sapir, again, it's a question of cases now, the grammatical cases. Sapir in Hebrew usually comes in the objective or accusative case. Siparti le'es ha'dover hazeh. ויספר מישה לישרי חסני איך כל אשר עושה לשם למצרים. ויספר מישה, מישה told his father לא ישרי, I mean, whatever God has done to מצרים. איך is always the accusative case. בריש יסבור על הכימס השמיים וסורת. אני כויסב מכתב, I write a letter. It's always the accusative case. It's a plain transitive verb. There is another form, basically where you don't find this form too often. When you come across it, with reference to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The term Tisaper is impossible. The man Tisaper was Nevircho and Venvircho. Ein Fasher is allowed in Mitzrayim. Again, the accusative case. Objective case. Ein Fasher is allowed in Mitzrayim. A scholar is allowed in Mitzrayim. Accusative case. My money is, not my money, but God itself, never uses Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in the accusative case, but always prefers the ablative case. Leisatei bi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Means the verb is not a plain transitive verb, but is always accompanied by the base is always ablative in Hebrew. How is it? By the ablative case. And usually, you know that it's in all languages, in particular in Hebrew, the case changes the meaning of the verb. It's not just a formula, maybe. The conjunction of the verb with the object in a certain case changes the whole semantics of the verb. The semantics of the verb is determined by the case which follows it. We have a nice grammar. So, lesatur biyutzias Mitzrayim. Mitzvah leinu lesatur biyutzias Mitzrayim. Chalamah veleisatur biyutzias Mitzrayim. Maisi v'rab el-ezer v'rab et-afen v'yom nesatrim biyutzias Mitzrayim. Not v'yom nesatrim al-edis yutzias Mitzrayim. Ores yutzias Mitzrayim. וכן סד, איסה שרוסה לשם לפארל, ואיסה פרמישה לישרח איסנה, איסה שרוסה לשם לפארל לכל מצרים. ומאן תספר בו את מבינכו ומבינכו, איסה שריסללתי במצרים. ועוד, הבאל הגודה, we have the author of the God of Wars, the very ancient text, one of the most ancient texts we have, after Rishbal Pednes, and the Rambam, and all the Shanim, have never used this reference to the story of, to the recital of the story of the Exodus on the first night of Pesach, the term Sipur in the accusative case, but always in the ablative case. Be it Yitzias Mitzvah. Now let us, just a moment, I'll come to it. Let us examine now where is the word Agode that we use. Of course, ויגאלת הלווים חובעים ההוא לאמר בעבור זה עושה עד השם לבצעי של מצרים however the ויגאלת is not a single term or the only term which somehow I mean is related to סיפור יתי יש מצרים ויאמרת הלווים ואמרת הלווים וגעת על וירך רפרס לשן ידי הראשון בעבודו הזה שם ליבת איסם מצרים ליבל עלי it's actually the chill at the dance at the rosh anyway וגעת על וירך what is the שן ידי הראשון אני חודש וגעת על וירך ואימהו לאימר בעבודו הזה שם ליבת איסם מצרים ואמרת על וירך בחזיק יוד את שנה לשם מצרים we don't call the recital of the book of the Agode or the story of the Agode of the Exodus Amiro but we call it Agode. It's apparently Agode semantically conveys to us something which Amiro does not contain. However, let us see, is it old, this expression Agode? Of course it's very old. The Gemara tells us das Kuftes Zayin in Arve Psochin. The Gemara says, Merena, Oma Merema, Merema said, Shaltinu have inquired, the Rabbon and the Rav Yosef, to the scholars of the Rav Yosef's academy, Man Bomer Agadete Be Rav Yosef, who is the one who recites Agadete in Rav Yosef's house, because Rav Yosef was blind, so he couldn't see. Omru Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef himself does it, by heart, out of memory. Man Bomer Agadete Be Rav Sheshes, I inquired. Rav Sheshes was also a blind scholar. Amru Rav Sheshes himself. So you have Agadete already. Of course you have the Agadete with the Aleph at the end instead of the Hey. And the this is the usual, I mean, the Aesis himself is the Hey at the end. Askoro, I mean, this is quite usual, I mean, that shouldn't attract our attention. But the term Agodo is mentioned in the Gemara. My managers, if you'll open the book, Beret Zayin, Aloche Hey, he gives an outline of the Agoda, in particular of the prerequisites which we have to meet in order, I mean, to fulfill the obligation of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he has the main elements, the main ingredients of the Agoda, of the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, and at the end he says, Udvorim Oelu Kulam, and all those things, Nikroim Agoda, are called Agoda. So the Rambam. It means both are correct terms. I mean, in terms which are basically are very old and go back to the Talmudic period or to the Tannaitic period. What's the difference between Agoda and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim? When we say Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's basically not correct. Because this is, when you say always Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, when you form a noun out of the verb, you say Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, means that the verb comes in the objective case always. Because if the verb appears in not in the objective case, but in the ablative case, then you couldn't say Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, you couldn't introduce the genitive here, the smichus, the genitive smichus. Then you should have said simply Sefer Bi Yetzias Mitzrayim. But apparently it's for convenience, I mean. So you call it Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, but whenever you use the verb, so you will never say Risaper Es Yetzias Mitzrayim, but well, automatically it sounds funny, to my ears at least, to say Risaper Es Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even though, I mean, from a lingual viewpoint, it's a perfect phrase. But you will say always Risaper Bi Yetzias Mitzrayim. The difference between Agoda and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is as follows, it's very simple. When you say Sefer in general, it means a detailed story. A detailed story. If you give just a short message, or you describe, or you portray a situation in several sentences, you will never call it Sefer. Sefer means simply a story. Sefer is a story, basically. And I told you many times that Sefer comes always, Sefer and Sefer, a writer, a scribe, whatever it is, a scholar, and Sefer and count, derive from the same root. A Sefer means simply, you give the background, and you tell the development of certain events, and you point out the high mark of the development, the dramatic elements which were involved, and then how finally the story wound up and reached a peak or culminated and so forth. Sefer means simply to tell a story, I mean, a detailed story, actually, and not only in a descriptive manner, detail, but even explanatory manner, to explain the causes of why it happened, what precipitated certain events, and what were the results of certain events. I mean, Sefer means a complete story both horizontally and vertically, in depth and in width, as to area. This is Sefer Yetzias. And that in particularly, then the Sefer comes in the ablative. When you say Risaper Es Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's all right. It's also a detailed story, not just a survey. Sefer is never a survey, or never an abbreviation, I mean, Sefer in Hebrew. Sefer means a detailed story, I mean, you don't skip, you don't tell me details. The important details, I mean, yes, Sefer Es Yetzias Mitzrayim. But when you use the ablative, and you call it Risaper Bi Yetzias Mitzrayim, means more than tell. But Risaper Bi Yetzias Mitzrayim means to explore, to do research, to study. Risaper Bi Yetzias Mitzrayim means to tell the story, the descriptive manner. Even explaining see the etiology and the causal nexus of the story, and even going into detail, but it is just, I mean, a tale. When you say Leisat Evetis Mitzrayim, means a study. To study an inquiry of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Voi misatrin Yitzias Mitzrayim kolesia laila. What do you understand by it? After all, the most outstanding scholars of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarf, and the most outstanding scholars for our history. Shem sim levrak voi misatrin Yitzias Mitzrayim kolesia laila. You can imagine that he did not just repeat his story 5 times, 10 times. Another question. What do you mean, William Sacklin? Well, you learned him. You can simply substitute for Misaklin, it's in Trayim, Me'ayin, Me'ayin, Ayin, Ayin, double youth, Langeman. Me'ayin, Yitzias, Mitzrayim. They studied, they explored, they investigated, they examined. Of course, when you examine alone, you couldn't say Misaklin. When you examine, I mean, in a group, I mean, investigate, one makes suggestions, the other one, I mean, responds, and so forth, and they exchange ideas, there is a flow of thought, so you call Misaprim, but Misaprim, be it is Mitzrayim. If the person had said Misaprim, if it is Mitzrayim, it would be a bit paradoxical. The person had said it is, it would appear paradoxical. Because it means just tell and retell and retell. Makes no sense to tell and retell. And again, I mean, the same tale cannot be told 5 times. I mean, narrate or I generate a story once. We cannot narrate 50 times the story. The whole night, and they were very much involved in it. Because they didn't notice even that they spend the night passed so quickly that the Talmidim, their disciples, had to come and to pull them by their sleeves and say, it's time to go to Shul, to the Smerash. It was already day after daybreak. So it means they were involved, completely absorbed by the story. This means be it Yitzias Mitzrayim. The ablative conveys it. The accusative or the objective would have never conveyed. I mean, this meaning. When the Satrim be it Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now you'll tell it like that. The Cholamade Mitzvah Leinu Satrim be it Yitzias Mitzrayim. You see, it's the Mitzvah Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim not just to tell a story. Not just to tell, a mechanical tale. You have a text, no matter how elaborate the text is, I don't care how elaborate the text is, and how many details the text contains, and how thorough the text is. As long as on my part, it is just the recital of a text, there is no Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim means I should explore, I should understand, I should analyze, I should examine, re-examine, things I should be intellectually and emotionally involved in it. The ablative always, the base in general, the base in Hebrew, I mean, wherever there is the base is added, it means, it's many times it is quite characteristic of strength. Ki beyor adishem tzuri lamim. Ki beyor yudeis. What do you mean beyor adishem tzuri lamim? God is omnipotent because he's the creator of the world. Instead, to say Yud Hey is Gibor or Chazak, to say Beyo Hashem Tzolam, the base means strength. The base of the adjective means strong, in complete involvement, complete absorption. Whoever knows Hebrew, I mean, it's nothing new in that. The adjective means. Leisatabitism means to be absorbed and to be involved, to be complete, I mean, to study and re-study, examine and re-examine, to do research. I mean, of course, it is Mitzrayim, the relevance to us nowadays. I mean, it's not just a story of an old event, it is an eternal story, basically. This is Leisatabitism, yes. The Cholamadel is Sapir Beit is Mitzrayim, meaning he keeps on the whole night of Pesach repeating the story, telling you, retelling the story, re-narrating the story. No, this is ridiculous. Cholamadel is Mitzrayim, whoever understands better, whoever explores it more, who whoever examines it, whoever derives conclusions, infers from this story. I mean, vis-à-vis our era, whoever by analogy actually infers from this story certain conclusions which are relevant to us, to our modern problems, and so forth, are the Mishnah. That's why it's a bit, yes, that's right. Now, in contradistinction to Sipur, particularly when Sipur is accompanied by the ablative case, Be, so the word Hagate, to tell, or Agodo, means on the contrary. Means a short statement, a very relevant statement, but short. A statement which actually is related to certain highlights, to certain important central events, but does not go into detail. Yagid Leyak, the Yasif in Ozirochele, he told very important, very relevant news. Or very relevant, I mean, information. This habit means, sometimes, many times, means simply to inform. If you inform a person, you advise him, you apprise him of certain events which are relevant to him, you don't tell him a long tale, I mean. You simply break the news to him, I mean, in brief terms, I mean. You don't go on telling him a long tale. Long tale is, the information will be lost in detail. You see, it's ridiculous. Yes, I'll come to it. Yes. Agoda means a statement, terseness, very relevant, extremely relevant. On the contrary, the details are left out. The details. The secondary, of secondary nature, you see. The primary, I mean, actually. Aspects are, of course, included in the message, but it's more a message which is related, which is brief in terse, and is related to central events, not peripheral events, you understand? And it is, and very true, because you have for his testimony to testify, and the witness testifies before the court. Testimony in Yahadus means the final evidence. There is no evidence which is above testimony, I mean, testimony of witness, you know, that very well. But one bears a witness is in Yagid in Lesavi, in Talmudic Hebrew, it is Talmudic vocabulary, is bearing a witness or testifying or giving testimony is called Agodas Edus. Why? Well, but if I do something, it must consist of relevant information, I mean, it cannot consist of details which are irrelevant and completely have no bearing upon the case which is before the court. So the justice or the dayan has to win the ideas if the ideas gets off the track. And you know that some people who cannot be exact, cannot be precise, I mean, will tell the court a story which has no bearing on the case which is litigation. So you've got to guide him. It means it's a short message, very important, of extreme importance to someone, of course, to the person who is indicted, to the prisoner in the dock. Very important, but short, not long. It means, of course, so basically, Agoda and Sipur, I want you to understand, are the two poles between which the narration of the Exodus, so to say, swings back and forth. You see, Agoda is the minimum. Sipur is the maximum, even though it's very hard to speak of a maximum. There is no maximum. The sky is the limit sometimes, you see. Agoda means the shortest message. If a person cannot study Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim, he's intellectually incapable, he lacks in scholarship, I mean, you see, I mean, after all, it's intellectual performance. he doesn't know, he has no time, he's sick, he suffers, I mean. So there is a minimum which is necessary to tell. A minimum. The minimum is what? Is a synopsis. Basically, the minimum is a synopsis, is the digest of what? Of what? Of the sipur. The agoda is the digest or the synopsis of the sipur. I mean, of course, sipur is very hard to give a digest of sipur, since sipur is almost boundless, you see. It's very vast, I mean. Intellectually vast in depth, it's only vast in area, I mean. What agoda means is the minimum which is indispensable. You see, the mitzvah sipur yetzias mitzrayim, there are certain mitzvahs, certain precepts, which have neither a minimum nor a maximum. There is only, you have to meet certain prerequisites. If you met the prerequisite, so you don't have to add, or there's no need for prolonging the act. I mean, either you fulfill the mitzvah, you discharge your duty, or you don't. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim belongs to that group of mitzvahs, which is basically, it is up to the person, individual, I mean, to determine the nature of the mitzvah. The mitzvah can be performed with a minimum of effort, and it's also possible to fulfill the mitzvah, I mean, at a different level, at a much higher level, you see. There are levels, various levels to the kiyum mitzvah. Or believer is like a mitzvah of tzedakah. Of course there is a minimum of tzedakah, but actually tzedakah cannot be said it is the same mitzvah. I mean, it depends, first of all, it depends upon the amount I give. It depends to whom I give. It depends upon the urgency. It also depends upon the way, how I give. This is very important in tzedakah. Tzedakah is not only how much I give, it's important. But how I give, if I give, I mean, with courtesy and kindness, and I actually have compassion with the person who is in need, and so forth and so on, I mean, it's a different mitzvah, you see. And the doctor is also, I mean, proportionate to my ability, I mean. The poor man cannot do as much doctor as the rich man, and so forth on. So the doctor is also a minimum, more or less. But there is almost no maximum, there is no ceiling to tzedakah. Not to the amount, perhaps the amount I give, I mean, Chazal have imposed a certain ceiling, one-fifth anyway. But as far as the experience, the sympathetic experience with the person who is in need, I mean, this is something which no one could place a ceiling about. I mean, the more sympathy I display, the more compassion I exhibit, and the more comfortable I make the person who has to beg or ask me for a favor, the greater is my mitzvah, the greater is my performance of all. And the same is true of Talmud Torah. I mean, everybody studies, but there are various levels of studies, from the lowest level to the highest. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim belongs also into that group. I mean, the Sipur means the mitzvah at the highest level. And the mitzvah contains study and research and deep understanding and insights into Jewish destiny, the destiny of old, our modern destiny of the future. I mean, it involves his involvement, re-experiencing, and so forth and on. The secret of time is only a question of re-experiencing. Agoda means the minimum which is indispensable. If you'll take a look in Rambam, when the Rambam speaks, Perek Zayin, before he says, Mitzasei shel Teiro Lesaper Benisim V'Nifloi Shnas V'Alfinim Mitzrayim, Sipur, because this is the mitzvah. The mitzvah, I mean, is actually required of us that we perform, I mean, our duty, fulfill our duty at the highest level, you understand? But then, he says, the tzoris in Dalet, he gives already the criteria without which, or the prerequisite, which are indispensable. If I said less, I haven't fulfilled my duty. Master Begnusim Sayim Bishvach, I've got to tell something about slavery or oppression or Jewish suffering, and then I have to tell about redemption. And those things are called agore. What's mean agore? The most relevant, the shortest, the briefest, and the most relevant, compact tale of secrets in Israel. If I miss one of the details, not the details, one of those aspects, I have not fulfilled my mitzvah. So Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim means, I mean, almost the boundless or it means the study of Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the examination, the experiencing of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Agoda means the shortest possible message, which Chachom has prepared for those who are incapable to tell Yisipur Yetzias Mitzrayim at a very high level. This is basic. Now let me ask you, what is our Agoda? Is Agoda or Yisipur? We call it Agoda, of course. The text itself is Agoda, nothing else. The text itself is Agoda. The text is just a frame. Basically, the text is a frame. Agoda is nothing but a frame. You, first of all, it is, after all, I mean, it is a frame which you have to fill in. It's basically, the text is just a frame. It means the meaning. It's not that. Because in the text, you have Avodah Meidah L'Tzara B'Mitzrayim. This is Gnus, means suffering, slavery, disgrace. What do you call historical disgrace? To be a slave means historical disgrace. Then you have Mitzvah Ivda Avedizoroya Yisrael Mitzrayim. It's again disgrace at another level, at a spiritual level. Then you have the Gula, the story of the redemption, Aram Eivedori, Rabban Gamliel, and the two chapters of Halo. It's basically what Aram calls Agore. It means the minimum. We say basically the minimum. If one is ready to fill in, or to explore, to behold a different vision, of course, Kalamada Savit is Mitzrayim and the Mishibach. But it is correct that we call it Agoda and not Sipur, because Sipur is something which is basically endless, which cannot be contained in the books. But whatever is contained in a book, whatever can be pressed in into a certain frame of reference, is not a Sipur, it's Agoda. Sipur intellectual, exploration and investigation, and gaining insights into great events cannot be explained in writing. You cannot have a text. Text can just determine the minimum, the principles, or as I said, the frame of reference, nothing else. It's basically is not to be considered Sipur. Sipur is already up to the individual. Each individual has his own Sipur. Each individual understands the Agoda differently. Each individual depends upon his intelligence more than, matter of fact, it depends more on intuitive approach, upon sensitivity to historical events, and reading between the lines, the ability to read between the lines, than an intellectual, brilliance. It's not so much the intellect which gets involved in Agoda, but the heart. But that's why you call it Agoda. That's what I want you to understand. In the Agoda itself, there's enough space, enough room, to fill in, and to both in depth, vertically and horizontally. It's an elastic. The book of the Agoda is very elastic. You can stretch it. You can stretch it as much as you want. So Agoda basically is the text which meets formally the basic prerequisite. And the basic welche Prerequisites in der Agode Afri? Genusse schwach, means you start with grace, and you conclude with praise, means slavery, redemption. There are two levels, the level of physical disgrace, slavery sin, redemption, physical, political redemption, and at the level of spiritual disgrace, idolatry, and spiritual elevation, means when you, I mean, our covenant with God, this is not, then Arame Vidovi, the parish of Arame Vidovi, interpretation, and Rabbi Gamliel, that's all. Basically, that's all. Is Gnus and Shvach at two levels, at the physical political level and at the spiritual level. The physical political level, you just state, Avodim Yilatar Mitzrayim, we are slave unto Pharaoh, by the Tirashim Hashem Yachadok, and God has taken us out with a strong hand and outstretched arm. That's all. Mazmuz Lai Mishvach. Then, you have Mitzvah Yidah Vizor Yavisin of Mitzrayim. Our forefathers have worshipped the idols. Lach of Kirvona Mokim Avedosei, and now God has brought us near Him, to serve Him. This means the change from an idolatrous people into monotheistic people. It's also Gnus Shvach. Then you have the interpretation of Arami Vidovi, which is a difficult section of the Godic, but the interpretation of Arami Vidovi, the whole parish of Arami Vidovi. We interpret each word, Arami Vidovi Yadutsoimo. Each word is interpreted by introducing a parallel from the book of Shmeis, from the Exodus. You take a word, Arami Vidovi, the parish is mentioned in Deuteronomy. So you take the parasha, and you take almost each word, and you interpret the word, and in order to confirm your interpretation that the comment is right, you quote a parallel phrase. For instance, Aram Medova Yered Mitzrayimo, Melamed Shle Yorav Yakev Avinu Lishtakev Mitzrayim, Logusha, Moshe Neema, Zerov, Moshe Neema, Otsu, Moshe Neema, and so forth on. Vayitzein Hashem Mitzrayim, Kmo Shenema. I mean, you take the Rami Vidovi, the parsha which actually contains the story of Exodus in a very brief and terse fashion. You take the Rami Vidovi, each word you compare with the phrase from Exodus, and by this comparison, by this analogy, I mean, you arrive at certain conclusions. It means you interpret the parsha. We'll come later, but not this time, tonight, but next time. Yeah, this is the second element of the Agode. The third element of the Agode is Rabban Gamliel Oyeimeo, because Roma Shleshet Vorem Eluba Pesach, the explanation of Pesach Matzah and Morel, and this is the third, and the fourth is Hallel. That's all. Basically four elements. I mean, the descriptive Agode is three consists. I want you to understand. The Agode, when you say Agode, it consists of two parts. One descriptive part, and one part of recital of praise. Hymn. The hymnal part of the Agode. The descriptive part of the first half of the Agode consists of three ingredients, of three elements. Gnus and Shvach. The Gnus and Shvach, there is a subdivision to Gnus and Shvach. Gnus and Shvach at the political, economic level, and Gnus Shvach at a spiritual level. The Gnus Shvach of a political nature is Avodim Oyinu. And of a spiritual nature is Mitzvah Yigav Zohar Yavsein of Mitzrayim. Above the Gnus Shvach, there is the Droshas Rabban Gamliel, I mean Arami Vidovi. You have to recite the Parsha Arami Vidovi and interpret the Parsha. Two, above the third layer, is Rabban Gamliel, that you have to point out the three basic mitzvahs, Pesach, Matzah, and Morer, and explain the symbolism involved in each of the mitzvahs. Pesach, because God got passed over the houses, and Matzah, it's a symbol of redemption, Morer is a symbol of slavery, oppression, so forth. But to announce the symbolic meaning of Pesach Matzah Morer, this is the third element of the descriptive Agode, And as far as the narration is concerned, you conclude. But following the narration, you have to recite Hallel. You recite two chapters of Hallel. And this is the hymnal part of the Agoda. This Agoda, but within that frame of reference, framework, I mean, there are almost boundless possibilities how to fill in and how to explain and how to interpret and how to examine and so forth. That's what the Rambam says, Udvorim Elo Nikroim Agoda. I want you to understand that. This is very important. Now, let us see. The Agoda starts out with a strange, strange introductory, a strange introductory sentence, two sentences. The Holach Mu'anyo, the Achola of a son of Aaron in Mitzrayim, called the Chfin Yisrael Yechon, called the Truch Yisrael Yisrael. Basically, I'll analyze that. It is strange for a simple reason. Following Olach Mu'anyo, the Manishtana comes in. Basically, Manishtana, the question is raised: why matzah? It's the first question. So by saying Olach Mu'anyo, so you answer the question because the latter was actually, addressed to you. Yeah, you already said Olach Mu'anyo, that's all. It's very strange. And secondly, this is called the Chfi Yisrael Yechon, called the Tzrich Yisrael Yitzchak. Why this duplication? Called the Chfi means whoever is hungry. Tafno. Tafno is in Aramaic hunger, starvation, famine. Called the Chfin, whoever is hungry, whoever is famished. Yesh v'yechel, called the Tzrich Yesh v'yishach. And then suddenly, there is, without any transition, you proclaim Hashat Ochol, Lishon Abba Be'arad Yisrael, Hashat Avdi, Lishon Abba Be'necher. There are some who suggested that basically these two parts are in the wrong order. The Roshat Ocho, Lashon Abba Be'arod Yisrael, Roshat Avdi, Lashon Abba Be'cherin, should come first. They used to say that any celebration after the home, in Golas, any celebration is the same as at the end of the Seder, where you say Lashon Abba Be'Yerushalayim, you know that? In the same manner as in Kippur at the conclusion of the services, Kippur, after Nila, you say Lashon Abba Be'Yerushalayim. We used to start a celebration of a service also with the announcement, with the proclamation, Lashon Abba Be'Yerushalayim. So when they sat down after Kiddush, after Karpas, when they sat down to recite the Agoda, so they said, Oshato Ocho Lashon Abba Be'Arad Yisrael, Oshato Avde Lashon Abba Be'Chir. We said it, by the way. Understand? This was the beginning. This was, so to say, the introduction to any service or any kind of celebration. Then they said, Olach man, you are the chola of a son of Aaron of Mitzrayim, called the Chin Yesev Yechel, called the Tzuch Yesev Yisach. So these two sentences of Olach man, you called the Chin, should follow the Roshat Ochol Lashon Abba Be'arad Yisrael, or Sha'av Lashon Abba Be'chem. They said, this was a part of customary for them, to announce at all weddings, at all simchas, at all meals, to set out to elaborate meal, or when they were about to celebrate an event, or a yontef, and any yontef. This is a Roshat Ochel Lashon Abba Be'arad Yisrael, Roshat Avdi Lashon Abba Be'chir. Because we find something of that custom in our proclaiming at the end of the Agoda, conclusion of the Agoda, Lashon Abba Be'Yerushalayim. Oh, see, Yom Kippur night, Lashon Abba Be'Yerushalayim. Yom Kippur at the afternoon. So that's how they used to start, how they used to commence. The Seder commenced with Oshat Ocho Lashon Abba Be'Arad Yisrael, Oshat Avdi Lashon Abba Be'Chir. Esker, they proclaimed there, this was an announcement. They used to say, Olach ma'an yodachol avesan ava'arod in Mitzrayim, called the Fi Yesu v'yechol, called the Tush Yesu v'yisar. That's what some historians suggest. I don't believe it. First of all, I don't like when they try to distort certain order. The Agoda, not only the Agoda, any religious text is being preserved because countless generations have actually have guarded it with zeal and devotion. And I don't believe, the text was distorted. So apparently there is a transition. In my opinion, the Olach Ma'an Yod used to commence. The Seder commences with the Olach. Say Olach Ma'an Yod Achol Avesan Avarod Mitzrayim. Called the Fi Yesu v'Yechol, called the Tush Yesu v'Yisar. That's what some historians suggest. I don't believe it. First of all, I don't like when they try to distort certain order. The Agoda, not only the Agoda, any religious text has been preserved because countless generations have guarded it with zeal and devotion. And I don't believe, the text was distorted. So apparently there is a transition. In my opinion, the Olach Ma'an Yod used to commence. The Seder commences with the Olach Ma'an Yod, and the Shat Orocho follows it. I don't believe, for them, to change in order, and even what even Chumash means nothing. So certainly Olach Ma'an Yod, Achol HaVeson, why not? So you say, Shatoch HaShnavobar Adiso, Shatav HaShnavobar Chayim. And then secondly, it's just a guess on their part. It's hypothetical that every celebration and every elaborate meal or every simche commenced with the solemn proclamation, Shatoch HaShnavobar Adiso. I mean, it's just, it's their own invention. They have no proof and they have no evidence, to substantiate it. But on the other hand, they have not explained what is the Olach Ma'an Yod, the significance of the Olach Ma'an Yod, the Achol HaVeson Ava'arod in Mitzrayim. What's the significance? Kol Efi Yesu V'Yechol, Kol Etzich Yesu V'Yisach. What An Yod is, whatever An Yod basically, the term Lach Ma'an Yod, I want to give you a few translations of Lach Ma'an Yod. Because Lach Ma'an Yod, the term is that simple. It's mentioned the day only once, Deuteronomy, Re'eh, Lechemene. What is Lechemene? Is one interpretation is the Gemara in Pesachim. Lechemene means Lechem She'enin Olov Dvorim Harve, the bread of recital. Why? When you eat your bread, you recite Agode. With the matzah. You first recite Agode and then you eat the matzah. It is the bread of many words. The bread as recital or as narration. This is Lach Ma'an Yod. Not lechem eni from onei v'oniso v'amardo. You shall say v'oniso v'amardo. Say it loud v'oniso v'amardo. V'onu alvim v'omru. And the alvim should raise the voices v'omru. That's the one given. Lechem she'enim olav dvarim harvi. As a matter of fact, this interpretation has a halachic relevance that we require that the matzah be on the table while the God is recited. You remove the matzah before manishtano, but after manishtano is concluded, you return the matzah on the table. Because during the recital of the God, during the narration, the matzah should be on the table. See, lechem eini means the lechem, the bread of many words. The bread of narration, the bread of recital, the bread of a tale. Another interpretation is Olach Ma'an Yod, Lechemeini, means the bread of the poor. The bread of the poor man. So it means it's in genitive. It's smichus. Lechem eini, lechem oni, lechem shelo oni. Because the oni who cannot afford to spend too much time on baking bread and have and the baking bread, I mean, is accelerates actually the process of baking, and he cannot wait for the ise to rise, for the dough to rise, to ferment. What it takes, he just mixes water with flour and puts it in the oven. Lechem eini means lechem shelo oni. Another interpretation of the poor man. But then there is a third interpretation. Lechem eini, poor bread. Not the bread of the poor man, but lechem eini means the bread of poverty. But you have to understand it in English. In Hebrew it is smichus. It is two verbs, one in nominative, the other one in genitive, like any smichus form. But in English, it's very hard to, if you say the bread of poverty, it conveys something else. It means the poor bread. Why is the bread poor? Because you must not mix the dough with anything but plain water. You cannot mix the dough with honey or butter or the flour, I mean. You cannot mix the flour with wine, oil, no pastry, because pastry is called matzo ashiro, rich bread. Of course it's rich, the fat, the sugar. You just mix the flour with plain water. This is called matzo ashiro. And the halacha is that Pesach night, you cannot use for the Seder any egg matzah or any kind of matzah, because any egg matzah will be considered matzo ashiro. Lechem eini is to be understood in simply physical terms. The lechem should only consist of two ingredients, a flour and water, plain water. So that's what you call matzo ashiro. A matzo ashiro is in the meat of the Chavasi Pesach. But the Rambam says, Havel in washing eso, you don't need, or you don't mix the flour, or you don't make the dough, the yayin e bishemen, either with wine or with oil, e cholov or milk, mishum lechem eini, because this would be called, if such a dough be formed, it would be considered not lechem eini, but lechem oshir, matzah shiro. Matzah shiro has been disqualified for the night of Pesach. Lechem eini. Now let us see. So I gave you three. Yes? The matzah, I mean the bread of recital, of narration. Secondly, the bread of the poor man, it means it's baked quickly. You don't lose too much time. Third, the poor bread, it means just consisting of two ingredients, plain ingredients, flour and water. Now let me see, in the whole Achman, the way the Hanya is introduced here. Which interpretation would you apply to this sentence, phrase? Olach Hanya. You understand my question? No. The third one. Most probably the term. Lachmanyo, I would say in Hebrew, lechem dal. Lechem dal means poor bread. To the exclusion of what? Of matzah shira, rich matzah. Rich, plain. Rich in eggs, in sugar, in all kinds of confetti, and pastry, and so on. Yeah. V'acholu avasono be'aro dimetzroyim. Of course, here, the Chol HaVason of the Aron of Mitzrayim can be interpreted in two ways. One way is the Chol HaVason of the Aron of Mitzrayim while they were slaves in Mitzrayim. Because the slave simply was fed, I mean, first of all, because was fed, I mean, the food which they gave the slave was of poor quality. Cheap of poor quality, it means was not based in no. Without sugar, without anything, without wine or oil, it's plain water, and the whole of the sonu as slaves. Then it's very strange. Then we have usually the matzah. What's the matzah symbolic of? Then we have a new symbol, the matzah, which we don't mention later when we say the Agode. When you say the Agode, matzah zushon eichem al shumo. So what do you say, matzah zushon eichem al shumo? Yeah? As we speak, the tzikam shal avaseinu la'achmit. It means they had no time to wait for the dough to rise, to ferment. As nigolim melech malcham lochim, I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, revealed himself and told them to go. So basically, matzah is a symbol of geula. It's a symbol of redemption, of victory. So it's not they, during their sojourn in Egypt as slaves, they ate matzah. There's no mention. On the contrary, the matzah, the geula came so quickly that they had no time, I mean, to prepare food, become tzedel osalem. So the matzah is the symbol of what has quick geula. A quick redemption, or sudden redemption, spontaneous redemption, which somehow, I mean, unexpectedly, I mean, actually they were confronted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was ready to redeem them and to take them out of Egypt, suddenly, without anticipating that this will happen so soon, and that's why the best they could do is to bake matzah. So they had no time, not because they were slaves or oppressed, on the contrary, they had no time, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, quickened the process of Geula and took them out, I mean, suddenly, correct? If you interpret the Acholu Avosono Be'aro de Mitzrayim in the same manner, it means the Acholu Avosono that our forefathers ate Be'aro de Mitzrayim in the land of Mitzrayim, when in the land of Mitzrayim, when? Well, so then you have a second aspect of matzah, which is contradictory, basically, I mean, of course, I mean, of the symbolism of matzah, which Rabbi Gamliel has mentioned. But according to Gamliel, the symbolism of the symbol of matzah is redemption, quick gula, sudden gula, unexpected gula. And here is matzah symbolizes not gula, just like Moher symbolizes slavery, oppression. Simply, they had nothing else but matzah. Nothing else but the Yachemeni. The Achol Avosono Be'arod Mitzrayim. Therefore, there are some Mefarshim who are ready to say that the Achol Avosono Be'arod Mitzrayim is identical with matzah Zushon Eichem Al Shumo. Be'arod Mitzrayim is before they left. It means actually the very Rabbi Gamliel interprets. The very Rabbi Gamliel wants us to understand. So matzah retains its symbolism of the Avdule. You understand? That's what some want to say. So it's Gula. And basically the fact that matzah is a symbol of Gula is not just a problem, I mean, of accepting that symbol or the other symbol. It's a question of halacha, whether you have to lean during Achilas Matzah or you eat Matzah while you sit straight. You don't lean against your chair. Morer is consumed without a sebe. Without a sebe, you sit straight while you eat the morer. When you eat the Matzah, you have to lean on your left side. Like that. Why? Because Morer is symbolic of Avdus, and Matzah is symbolic characteristic of Geula. Yeah. If you interpret the Achol Avosono Be'arod Mitzrayim literally, they ate while they were slaves. So Matzah has a double aspect. Basically, there is an inner contradiction within the Matzah. On the one hand, the matzah symbolizes geula, on the other hand, slavery and oppression, you see. Of course, but there are many, the Chachmei Kabbalah, all the Chachmei Kabbalah, and even Chachmei Chassidus, They have accepted the double symbolism of matter. They've accepted the double symbolism of matter. That matter is not only Gula, but matter is slavery, Havdus as well. The question is, why did the Aloche, actually require a Sebe for matter? Is all right, is to be, can be resolved. But they, the Chachmei Kabbalah, in particular Chachmei Chassidus, mainly the Tanya, in Yisida, has accepted, without any reservation, that matzah blends itself to double symbol, to double symbol. On the one hand, matzah is the bread of the slave, and the same bread of the slave, God has converted into the symbol of Gula. God has taken the symbol of slavery and converted it into the symbol of Gula. But there is a double symbol to matzah. If you want, you can say the whole of it. Say the whole of a son of Aaron Mitzrayim means just before the word him. Like this. If you prefer this interpretation, then the whole of the son coincides perfectly with Rabbi Gamliel. So matzah, the symbolism of matzah is just, the symbol of matzah is one. I'm not too sure that those who want to reconcile the whole of the son of Aaron and Mitzrayim with the Shnigle Melech Nachum Lech Lakadosh Baruch Hu Golom, that those who want to reconcile are right. In my opinion, the Chachmei Kabbalah are right. That matzah, there is a double symbolism to matzah. Matzah is the bread of the slave, and matzah is the bread of the person who has been redeemed. And it is typical of Yadus. Yadus takes not a different symbol, but the same symbol, and converts it and transforms it into something which represents Geula redemption. Now, that's what I wanted just to tell you. You should know, the two possibilities, the two pshatim. This called the Chil Yeseh V'Yechil, called the Tzrich Yeseh V'Yifsach, in my opinion, it has a completely different meaning. The Gemara tells us in Tanis, that Chof of the Beis, that whenever Ravuna was a rich man, whenever Ravuna sat down, eat the meal, used to open the doors, used to send out his butler, whoever he was, the servant, they used to announce, called the Tzrich Yeseh V'Yechil. Whoever is in need, let him come and eat. The Gemara quotes Ravuna, the Gemara in Tainis Daf Chof Amud Beis, called the Tzrich Yeseh V'Yechil. Apparently, what Ravuna used to do every time he sat down the meal, we do it on Pesach. Why on Pesach? Called the feet. Rav Amram Goyen says, Rav Matis Yogoyen, excuse me, Rav Matis Yogoyen says, Ravuna lived in the 3rd century. It's an old custom, 3rd century. Rav Matis Yogoyen, who lived in the 9th century, Rav Matis Yogoyen, writes in Shemesh HaGedik, Mina Kol Yisrael, it's customary throughout the Bat Yisrael. Fortunate brothers, and the night of Pesach, that's Rav Matis Yogoyen. Of course, the Minag Moishitim Tzitzin into this whole thing. So apparently it was not just called the Chvin, it was not just one closed his door and locked the door and pulled down the window shades and the Venetian blinds and said called the Chvin Yeseh V'Yechil. But in practical, the Chvin Yeseh V'Yechil used to be a message. It used to be apparently disseminated announced days before Pesach. That's what Rav Matis Yogoyen. Days before Pesach, used to be announced to the community. Kol dich fin jes in jeche, kol dich zrich jes in jes. It was a reality to them. It was not just a ceremony. It was a reality. Uvay Pesach is being singled out. See. And the rest of the year, yes, Uvay Pesach. I want you to understand, first of all, it was not just a statement made, I mean, at the night of Pesach, while the doors were closed, no one heard. It was simply, they used to send out, Shleach Shluchim, Rabbi Tzion Goyen says, to send messengers, agents, to pick them up, to find them, and to bring everybody who is unfortunate, who was poor, and was alone, every lonely person, I mean, into the home of the more fortunate brother in order to celebrate Pesach. So of course, I mean, it was retained in our body just as a phrase, but it was not a phrase, it was a historical reality. And we understand it fits beautifully in with the Moishchitim institution. Also, what is the purpose of the Moishchitim institution is to provide everybody, I mean, it's all they need. Yes. So why Pesach was singled out of all holidays, now the entire year, why is Pesach has been singled out? There are two reasons. There are basically two reasons. Why is Pesach? Usually, it should have been, this institution should have been actually introduced, not only with reference to Pesach, but as regards all holidays. Because in all holidays, wherever the Torah speaks of Simcha, of rejoicing, V'samachto, the Holy Tere enumerates. Atu, Vincho, V'techo, you and thy son, thou and thy son, V'alevi, V'ageir, V'yosem, V'almona, Asher Bekerbecha. And the stranger, and the orphan, and the widow, and the lady was the poor man, Mishrech. And you know what the Ram writes, that if one, whoever, and apparently, the way the Ram describes Yontev, they used to open their doors, gates of the chateres, of the yards were open completely ajar, the doors were open ajar, and anybody who wanted to come in, they needed to participate and share. You was allowed to do so. And Ram said that Mishinel Dalses Chatzere, whoever locks the gates of his home, Venimachil or Nim, the Ram is very strict, very Israel's Ukshekel the Shese when he eats, drinks, feast, Chayav Lachil Agir Yosem Almana, I'm sure Neim and Lolim. Should feed, should also have the Gir, the stranger, and the Yosem Almana, I'm sure Neim Lolim. All those are unfortunate and poor, they should also share in his, whatever he is. Abu Mishinel Dalsa Chatei, whoever lacks the doors of his house. And only he shares with his children and his members of Hala and his wife. And does not let others share in his meal. It is not the Simcha Vegetarian has decreed, the Simcha's crazy. It's his own selfish feast. That whatever their offers and their sacrifices are just abominable, and I don't approve of them. No. Perekvov, Aloha Yutfes. Milchas Yontef. Perekvov, Milchas Yontef, Aloha Yutfes. This is it. Pesach, apparently, this is a rule which applies to all holidays. As a matter of fact, even to Purim. The Matonis Levyenim, the institution of Matonis Levyenim, is also the same. Why was the institution of Matonis Levyenim introduced? Because then you share with your friends, Mishleach Mone, sharing with your friends. So share particularly with those who are discriminated by destiny. All right. This is number one. Pesach was singled out from all other holidays. even though it's important, the same precept of tzedakah, of chesed, of caring and making and having someone rejoice with me, is applicable to all holidays, to all seasons where Simcha was with regard to which Simcha was decreed. So it is mainly important for Pesach. Why? Why is it so important for Pesach? Yes. It's all right, but that place, First of all, in Kom Pesach is interesting. In Kom Pesach is the Lokahu Shene Yakovino. The Kom Pesach, the Torah speaks, we read it this morning, the Lokahu Shene Yakovino. He and the neighbor, the next door neighbor, should bring together, they should bring the Paschal lamb. And there is a Roman Doma says that a single person cannot bring the korban. If he doesn't share the korban with someone else, he may be in Pesach al Hayochid. Only a group, a chabura, brings the Pesach. When I mean we share the Pesach with someone else. If in Pesach already, who shene yakor evela? It means regardless of the show, who the neighbor is, rich or poor. And if the neighbor cannot afford to buy or share in the expense, so he has to provide it. It's already in Pesach, there is an allusion of somehow of allusion to the fact that a man should not simply enjoy whatever he possesses alone, but should share whatever he has with others. For Pesach, the locker who sell a boys or the family shares already. But if there's a lamb is too much for one family, the family is small, so the locker who shene yakorevelov, let him see that the neighbor, the next door neighbor, shares in the Pesach, in the Paschal lamb. This itself shows that there is the sense of togetherness, of simply of being together, and sense of compassion and sympathy, and the readiness to help, to extend help, was emphasized in the parsha of Kom Pesach. Secondly, there is something else. I said so many times about it. When the Jews came to Mitzrayim, they were not the people, you know that very well. Issue basically, just a clan. When God addressed himself to Moses, I mean, before the Geulah, he already used the term not, a term which denotes or signifies a people. Didn't he say to him in Shmos? Didn't he say to him, Roy Royisi Esoni Amiasha Bemitzroim. Vestakosom Shomati Mipne Nixov. Kiotati Esmachevov. Viato Lecho Veshlochacho El Pare Veites Amivne Yisroel Mitzroim. Shishmels, Gimel, Posuk Zion. Shmels Gimel, Posuk Zion, and Posuk Yud. Posuk Yud. And I told you many times that the term Ami means together. Im. The term Am is from Im. Being with. But people cannot be called Im if there is no solidarity. It cannot be called Am if there is no solidarity. When you call Am, it means it is indicative of a sense of solidarity on the part of the individual. And also, I mean, the readiness to share both joys and cares and travail and suffering together. This is a sense of solidarity, of compassion and solidarity. This is Im, felt like that. No doubt about it, theologically. So, actually, So it means that Gulas Mitzrayim, the fact why were the Jews worthy of Gula, why were they worthy of Gula? Spiritually, they were not worthy. I mean, Alolev Davidizorev Alolev Dizorev, you know, the complaint of Uzo, of the representative of Mitzrayim on the seventh night, seventh day of Pesach. He said, I mean, why do you prefer the Jew to the Egyptian? They are both idolaters. They both, I mean, the godly blurus, along with the godly blurus. Spiritually, I mean, the Jew in Egypt was not, I mean, superior to his oppressor. I mean, spiritually, he was not, the slave was not superior to the oppressor. No wonder. So the reason why the Jews were taken out of Egypt and were free is not because of their spiritual grandeur, but for another reason. Because of what? Because simply they were charity. They helped each other. They helped each other. There was a feeling of solidarity among the Jews. They actually shared whatever they had with each other. That's why they are called Am. They were together, they lived together. There was coexistence. There was interrelatedness. There was association. Sense. Any group, any association is based upon a sense of solidarity. If you have no solidarity, you have no association. And this sense of solidarity, this sense of sympathy, that's what is responsible for the Gula. That's what Rabbi Sibber and Bissalevi says. This is responsible for the Gula. That's why the Rabbi Nechum said, Roi roi sani ami asher b'mitzvahim, only of my people, it means the people who live together. Asher b'mitzvahim v'zakosom shomati. Yeah, it's very interesting. She said, Mipnei Nekseyem. Zakosom is plural. She said, Mipnei Nekseyem. Ki Yodati es Machreveyem. And the strange is that the Apostle says, Roi Reisi es Sone Ami Asher B'Mitzroyim. Zakosom Shomati, plural. Mipnei Neksov, singular. Ki Yodati es Machrevov. And singular for him. Why does the pasuk change from plural into singular? Because basically each one felt also the pain and the suffering of his next door neighbor, of his fellow man. Kishomati mitnei neksov, they reacted as if they were, if they had been just one individual, one person. Kiyodatis machivov. Machivov of whom? Of 600,000 Jews. But it was the pain of one person. And that's why, that Pesach is the time of chesed and tzedakah. So the sense of solidarity is responsible on the part of the Jew, is responsible for the Gula. As a matter of fact, this sense of solidarity has never disappeared, has never vanished. Jew, whether spiritually, whether spiritually he meets the standard which the Torah has put up for him, is a different story. But as far as solidarity of the Jew, the sense of responsibility for each other, and the commitment to his people, and the devotion of the individual to the people as such, and simply in the readiness to help, to extend the aid, has always been perhaps the most beautiful characteristic trait of the Jewish people. They've never lost it. This trait of whether the Jew is a bit assimilated or is observant, but there is this trait. This trait of Ami, to be together. lesser one, the one actually drifts completely. But the other didn't drift. No apostasy involved. Or no vulgar assimilation is involved. This sense of solidarity has never vanished on the part of the Jew. You can see now what's going on. Our solidarity with people now in Israel, and vice versa. Not so easy for the Jew in the diaspora, for the Western Jew to simply to somehow to unite with our brother in Eretz Yisrael. There are many problems involved. Our sympathies for them, are misinterpreted by our enemies. And the enemies, when we speak of divided loyalties and so forth. But the sense of solidarity has never been suppressed. No enemy, no foe has ever succeeded in splitting the people. No. And if, I'll be frank with you, if in the 1940s I had doubts, and we had sinned at the time, because if we had responded to the call for help, which actually came across the ocean from the various ghettos in Poland and Lithuania and the Baltic lands, we might have saved hundreds of thousands of Jews. We did not respond to that call. I saw that time that the Jewish people, Jewish community is falling apart. There is no more any feeling of solidarity, of being together, of living together, of suffering together, of fighting together. Alright, of course, it was a terrible crime on our part. That's why I don't like to criticize Roosevelt or Churchill, because we have sinned as well. Since we are not, we haven't purged ourselves. But the great sin and the great crime we have committed, tolerating the destruction of 6 million Jews. But nowadays, with regard to the Jewish soil, we have responded in a manner which is worthy, actually. Like proud, like members of a proud race. Without cowardice, and without any reservations. So the sense of solidarity still prevails. Pesach is basically the holiday of solidarity. The Jews in Egypt, I want you to understand, the Jews in Egypt don't have it. We have a very funny picture. Not everybody was a slave. The slaves, the masters. Masters among them. The master was a slave to an Egyptian master. But it wasn't, the slavery was not uniform, was not homogeneous. There were various degrees of slavery. Chazal tell us that the tribe of Levi, of Levi, has never been enslaved, has never been oppressed. And most probably the masses have been oppressed. The richer, the people who, the aristocracy of the Jewish aristocracy, the people who were rich and wealthy, they apparently paid high taxes. But there's no doubt that they didn't have to do, to work, physically. Still, but there was unity of purpose. A sense of solidarity, responsibility. Each one felt the pain of his next door neighbor, his fellow man. And that's what brought about the war. That's why the Rebbeinu emphasized to Moshe. Es oni ami. He could have said, Es oni bnei Israel Mitzray. Why is oni ami? Because there are people already. There is interrelatedness, there is a sense of sympathy, of compassion, of readiness to help. That's why Pesach, before we sit down, we make that declaration. I interpret Be'arod HaMitzrayim means simply, in the land of Mitzrayim while they were slaves. And the Acholu means something else, not only they share the bread with each other. The Acholu in Hebrew means not only eating, they shared the bread. One had a matzah, the other one didn't have any. So what did he do? He split the matzah into two and passed half a matzah on to his unfortunate brother who could not afford to bake matzah. He's so poor that he didn't have the little flour and the water. He couldn't mix flour with water. He didn't have any time. Yeah, all of his sonos that our forefathers have shared with each other, the Avodah Mitzrayim. And I want you to understand something else. Here is called the Chvin Yesir Yechel. Please read carefully. Called the Chvin Yesir Yechel. Whoever is hungry should come and eat. Called the Tzrich, whoever is in need, Yesir V'Yitzchak, should come and celebrate the Seder. I mean, Yitzchak means celebrate it. To make the Pesach, it means to celebrate the Seder. Why this duplication? Isn't the duplication redundant? Redundant? Let's play redundancy here. Call the Chin Yeshe V'Yechel, call the Trich Yeshe V'Yitzchak. Why this duplication? The answer apparently is as follows. You see, call the Chin whoever is hungry, Yeshe V'Yechel should come and eat. Call the Trich, what does it mean, call the Trich? No, yes, what is called the Trich? I mean, you understand a little bit of Hebrew? What is called the Trich? He said, called the Chvin, whoever is hungry. What's the difference between being hungry and being in need? What do you say? No. This is nonsense. Exactly. Called the Trich means he is in need. What kind of need? He's not in need of bread. Because whoever is in need of bread or the shortage of matte is called a Chvin. The Chvin means he's hungry. If he doesn't have enough food, he's called a Chvin. What is called a Trich? He wants to celebrate with someone else. He's alone. He has a lot of matte, a lot of wine he can do. I mean, he's not in need for food. He can afford, I mean, to celebrate the Passover. What called the Trich is in need for something else. He's lonely, he has no home, he has no family. There are so many ways. He called the Trich. He doesn't say Yeshe V'Yechal. He doesn't say, The invitation is not V'Yechal, he should eat. The invitation is he should be with us. He should spend the Pesach with us. Yeshe V'Yitzchak means to celebrate with us. See, it is a plea or invitation addressed to poor people and to lonely people. The lonely people might be a millionaire. It's completely irrelevant. All the Tzrich, whoever needs us, needs me, wants to spend the Pesach with me, the Yesei V'Yitzchak should come and celebrate. Not V'Yechel. The idea is that V'Yechel has enough food at home. V'Yitzchak means to celebrate. Why do I mention Olachmo Anyo? I could have said Olachmo, because I said before, the Anyo is already somehow anticipates a question about matzah, and I give the answer before the question was addressed to me, and this makes no sense. I believe that here is involved another concept. There is a Mishnah in Asicher Sapeli, a very strange Mishnah. Mishnah is, for instance, if I hire a day laborer. So I have got to feed him the day he works. From here, I have to provide him with food. I have to give him his meals. So there is a Mishnah like that. Question. If I have not stipulated what kind of food I'm going to give him, he can demand from me the most delicious food and the delicacy. She called Yisroel Bnei Melochim. All Jews are princes. And he's entitled to the same treatment as a prince is entitled, as the son of the king is entitled. So there was a formula when they hired a deliverer to do some work. They used to write in the agreement, or orally, I mean, stipulate, Ein loch elai, all you can demand from me, elo pas v'kidneyes dolad. Just bread and some vegetables. Some beans, kidneys is beans, some vegetables, but nothing more. But if he had not stipulated, the day laborer can ask him, I mean, for the most luxurious, I mean, for the rarest, I mean, delicacies, and the best food possible, which only kings and princes eat. Don't forget that time, Talmudic times, so many, 1800 or 1700 years ago, the difference as far as dietary habits are concerned between a king and an ordinary man was tremendous. Now, actually, there is equalization of diets. The king eats the same food as I do or you do. I mean, there is no difference, basically. First of all, delicious food does not mean healthy food. And secondly, there is certain control on the part of the rich man as far as his dietary habits are concerned. Yeah. But in antiquity, not only antiquity, yes, even in Middle Ages. I mean, the dietary habits of the king, the dietary habits of the plain person, were completely incongruous. They were completely incommensurable. So in the law is that if I have not stipulated properly that all he can claim as far as food is concerned is parsley, kidneys, bread, and some vegetables, so then he may demand, he may make the most fantastic demands upon me as far as his meals are concerned. She called his royal b'nei melachim. I want you to understand, it's a very strange halacha. Olach, so now if I address an invitation to those who are in need to come to eat with me, please listen carefully. And I tell them that I'll see them, but they can have the same claim to me as the Mishnah tells us about the day laborer. They can say we are not satisfied with this type of food. We want a better type of food. So they announce, I mean, the announcement when the it's a very strange halacha. Olach, so now if I address an invitation to those who are in need to come to eat with me, please listen carefully. And I tell them that I'll see them, and they can have the same point to me as the Mishnah tells us about the day later. You can say you are not satisfied with this type of food. So they announced, I mean, the announcement when they used to, it was practice. Whenever they hired a day laborer, I used to tell him, never mind, they used to agree on the wage. And secondly, all you can demand is passive. If he hadn't stipulated passive kidney, then the laborer can make all kinds of demands. The laborer may ruin the employer. The employee may ruin the employer, not so much as the wages, but as far as the food, the quality of food. Mishnah, first Mishnah, Asher HaSapele. Asher HaKol Yisrael, name Elohim Emor, every Jew is a king or son of a king. He can claim, he can melee claim to the Lord. The best. So now if I address myself, and I send the invitation, this was not just a formality. We used to send out messengers, inviting people to come. So called the Chvi Yisri Yechel, called the Tzuf Yisri Yisra, whoever came, used to say, I mean, I expect the better meal. I'm not joking, the better meal. I thought that you service different items. So the announcement is, we just invite for Olach one. It's not a joke. I'm not joking. We just invite for Olach one. Whoever knows the Mishnah that Seicha Sapeirim, Ein lo chalai alo pas v'kitnias b'va. Pas v'kitnias is exactly what Olach one. Olach ma'anyo de acholu avasono be'arod mitzrayim. I extend an invitation just to share lachmaya, the meager bread or the meager meal which I have. And if whoever is satisfied Dus de lachma anjo, en is hungry, he called us in Israel. Whoever is satisfied with lachma anjo, with the meager meal, and the poor food, is called it rir, but it doesn't, you might have, the fellow might say, at home I left a beranah, I had a beranah. Alright, I didn't want to spend the Seder night alone, but if I had known, I mean, the poor quality of food you are going to serve me, I mean, I wouldn't have come. Called it rir, whoever wants to be friend, or celebrate the Passover in company, Jason Yisach, but the invitation is just sent out for all Achvayo. Why do I emphasize the whole of the son of God? I'm trying to emphasize the meal will not be just as meager as the meals of a slave. Now you understand the transition to a Shato Ocho, the Shona Boba Arad Israel. You see, basically it's not just a transition, it's a transition, it's a promise. For Shato Ocho, now this year we're here. And here I cannot serve you anything else. But in Shona Boba Arad Israel, there you'll get a better. I'm not joking. And he explains why is Barod Israel, I mean, the food will be of a better, higher quality. For sure, because of Shato Avdi. I am a slave, so I cannot afford it. The Shona Abu Bnechirin, I'll treat you like a free man treats his man. Now, I can treat you only as an Eved treats his fellow Eved. I have that. If I can afford, if I can't afford, I can't. I mean, the question is, I cannot afford, I mean. I can afford, I mean, to give him a man. To give him all luxuries. That's the whole Achmanyo, basically the whole Achmanyo is to renew our pledge of solidarity. It's the whole Achmanyo. It's the renewal of pledge of solidarity among the Jewish people. Solidarity between individual and individual, and solidarity between individual and the Jewish community as a whole. Because this sense of solidarity is, according to Chazal, was responsible for the redemption of the Jew community. The Rebbeinu Shlom said to Abraham, "Tigir yizrach oberet leilohem, v'avodum vinu meisom arba meishonot." The Gemara said, "Ye asher yavedu dono nechi." What is the Rechush Godel they took out of Mitzrayim? What is the Rechush Godel? What was the great fortune they took out of it? What did they take out of it? They became a people. Arami Evidovi, we read it Pesach and Agode. Arami Evidovi, Vayered Mitzrayimo, Vayishom Legi Godel. What do you mean Legi Godel? Numerically? Numerically, we are not very strong. Numerically, very strong. 600,000 people. They got to mean the great people. The great solidarity, the first foundation of greatness of a people. If there's no solidarity, people cannot be great. Because finally, people, alright, sociologically, it's more than the sum total. But at least, the people must be the sum total of the individuals which constitute the people. If there is no solidarity between individual and individual, there is no sense of responsibility, there is no readiness to share, and there is no readiness to commit yourself, I mean, to the welfare of the people, or to the welfare of your fellow man, so there is no gigodeo. So basically, Mitzrayim, what avdu, slavery and oppression and maltreatment, have taught the Jew, is to be to a sense of unity with the people. And not only Mitzrayim, the Middle Ages, I mean. After all, why? Actually, Jews distinguished themselves as valid doctrine of the Charter. No, you have no concept. You have sometimes philanthropies among Gentiles, and they give fantastic amount of money. But the plain docker, the plain individual's docker, the Jew, Gentiles don't know. They don't know what it is. The Greeks didn't know. The Greeks did not know what the stuff is. In general, the word, the term chesed, it was strange, was alien to Greeks. They have not term for it, for chesed. So the Greeks is virtue, is courage, I mean, truth. Those are the ethical virtues. Chesed is to take the table of virtues, which was composed by Aristotle, or by Plato, even Socrates. Chesed is not. Chesed is Socrates. We didn't understand what it was. Courage, yes. Seeing a battle, that's a good understanding. That's why Goya was so impressed in 1967. Courage. Abolo Hoga Hashkin Lori, this is the fact that one who does not have should be held by the individual. Now in America, the welfare state is changing. Actually, now the welfare state is a Jewish institution. It's a Jewish institution. The welfare state, actually, the way Chazal describes a meluche, a state, means a welfare state. The state should take care of the poor. The community takes care of the poor. That's different. The community used to take care of the poor. It's a welfare community. We have no statehood. It's a sense of solidarity. What taught us solidarity? You know, what taught us? Oppression and persecution and exile. The Rambam says, "Lechol Yisrael ke'achim eimo." All Jews are brothers. Umi yirachim aleihem. Leach. Who will have mercy on them? It's not a brother. It's exactly the sense of solidarity. With all Achmanya, basically the purpose of all Achmanya, the renewal of the sense of solidarity, and actually the proclamation that they are one people, and they are ready to help and to share. Pesach night is the night of sharing. But however, as I told you, this is the basic idea which underlies the whole Achmanya. Because without sharing, so the whole Seder becomes unified. Without manifesting and demonstrating the sense of solidarity and responsibility and unity, the readiness to share and to participate. But here, you know, after all, it is all probably the Mishnah. Here, when you extend an invitation, and it was a start with Alan, you know, so you always have to enlighten the fellow whom you invite, what you are ready to do. Not to arouse hopes, which will never come true, and not to simply, I mean, to deceive him. That's what you say, Olach Mo'anyo, the Achola of the Son of God. This is the bread, this is the meager meal, and invite for that. If you want to share, you are welcome. You promise that whatever will be redeemed, I mean, we'll share it better. You know. I'll tell you. Whoever will see the Mishnah, look up the Mishnah, say Seches Apel, and you'll find it. This was a part of the agreement with any day laborer or any wage earner and his employer. But he has no claims as far as the news. It's the same mishnah, the same stipulation was incorporated for Lachma. So this is the introduction. Of course, no. Next we'll take up the Manishtana Laila. Gadel is kadesh, mei rabo, yom.